Welcome to Fran Coach's Franchising 101 podcast series. Here we talk about all things franchising. What is it all about? Is it for you? How do you find the best one to own? And so much more. Now your host, Tim Parmeter.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to the latest edition of Fran Coach's Franchising 101 podcast series. I'm Tim Parmeter, founder and CEO of Fran Coach and your Franchising 101 host. Today, we have one of our franchise partners joining us to talk about their unique franchise opportunity. It is very rare to find a franchise with this mix of both B2B and B2C clients, most of whom become very long-term customers, in part due to the great service, but also the wide range of services this franchise offers. It's a lower level investment with minimal overhead, opportunity to own major markets so you can grow just an absolutely enormous business. And as a little bonus, it comes with fantastic support from the franchisor. Sounds pretty cool, right? We're going to dive deep into this franchise, but first we always have to take a quick little reminder of who we are. And Fran Coach is a national search firm dedicated to working with individuals who are interested in owning a franchise. We are partnered with now over 600 franchises that spans well over 60 different industries. Our goal is to help clients find the absolute best franchise for them to own. And the goal of the Franchising 101 series is to help educate people on all aspects of franchise ownership. So that's us. Now let's get to our guest. And joining us today is Mr. Jack Rugsager. And Jack is the co-founder of our featured franchise, which is Squeegee Squad. So Jack, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me, Tim. Very much appreciate the opportunity to talk to you and all of your people.
No, absolutely. And I got a whole bunch of things. I hope you're buckled up there, brother, to ask you today to learn about Squeegee Squad. But first off, I've read this, heard this a little bit, but I always like hearing people's story. So whether how they got into franchising, or for you guys, it's kind of a combo of the business and then you got into franchising. So share a little bit about that with us.
Yeah, for sure. To kind of start out, give you a background and history of the company, it'll kind of encompass kind of a lot of the questions you'll probably ask. But you know, we're a very much an organic franchise. We started out back in 1999. I was a recent graduate of Wheaton College in Illinois. Was pre-med, didn't get into medical school, and had been cleaning windows for a very small independent window cleaning company in the Minneapolis, St. Paul market. And he would send us to residential homes from time to time, my brother and I, because we're the most clean cut. And we found that these residential homeowners were willing to pay you more money if you gave them good service, and they're also more loyal. So right out of college, I didn't get into medical school. We started out essentially knocking on doors all over the Twin Cities metro area. We didn't have any franchise infrastructure. We didn't have a website. We didn't have software. We had nothing. We had basically an old truck and some ladders, some old ladders, and some window cleaning gear, some sponges and squeegees. And we just started knocking, literally. We knocked on residential neighborhoods all across the Twin Cities metro area for about 3 to 4 years. And we essentially took over the Twin Cities market from a residential perspective, one neighborhood at a time. And so we were young, my brother and I, and we would be cleaning windows during the day, and we would be doing bids at night and payroll and essentially building the infrastructure of the franchise out of necessity, because we were doing all this work and we needed to come up with a website, come up with training manuals and safety manuals and software and all this stuff you need to run a business that is growing and growing really fast. And so we started in 1999, and by about 2005, we had probably 10 trucks and maybe 20 window cleaners going out every day, cleaning all residential homes. And it was crazy. It was a lot of fun. We were probably doing about $1 million of revenue. And at those prices back then, that would be probably be about $2 million now. Just a ton of glass was being cleaned. And my brother said to me, my younger brother said, "Hey, Jack," he had just watched a video from the iFranchise Group founder, Mark Siever. He said, I think we could franchise this window cleaning business. And I said, sure, why the heck not? And we had no idea what we were getting into. I was just recently married. My wife's like, why not? And so 2005, we hired Mark Siebert's company, iFranchise, and they gave us a crash course in franchising. They hooked us up with the law firm here in Minneapolis, Grapevine Moody, that helped us write our franchise disclosure document. We had a software company take the complex spreadsheets we had at the time to manage our business and converted it to a software program we call Squadware. And actually, we're launching the fourth iteration of that as we speak. It's been built upon all these years, and it's really awesome. And so we started franchising in 2005. We sent out a newsletter to our customer base in late 2005, said, "Hey, we're franchising your business," just to let them know. And one of our longtime customers said, "You know, I got to get my son into this business." And in 2006, we brought on that individual's son, a guy named Joe Antonello. And he was our very first franchisee, January 2006. And we were kind of off to the races, but little did we know what the fact that franchising is an entirely different business than window cleaning. So we had to learn a lot of important lessons really early on. And so we started in the process. We were still cleaning windows here in Minneapolis, started the franchise company in 2006. 2007, we also started our commercial high-rise window cleaning division out of necessity again, because we had window cleaning, some of our customers asking us to bid on some of their buildings. And at the time, we had no idea how to repel off the roof or get on the boom lift, how to bid a building, you know, the safety OSHA component of it. We had no idea. We couldn't go to our competitors and say, "Hey, how would you clean this building? How would you do it? How would you fit it?" And so we learned that the good old fashioned way, just like the residential, just from the ground up. Did a lot of buildings for no money, no profit, took a lot of hard lumps, but we learned the business. We built a big portfolio of really massive commercial buildings here in the Twin Cities, from Best Buy corporate headquarters, Medtronic corporate headquarters, Boston Scientific, University of Minnesota, all these, you know, U.S. Bank Stadium, all of these massive, huge commercial window cleaning jobs. And we realized that we could bid on these really big revenue projects anywhere in the country and win them and either do it ourselves or subcontract to a nearby franchisee in order to drive value to a future franchisee that is in that market that would come on board because we just won the University of Arkansas or the city and county of Denver or University of Kentucky or the state of Maine, all these different big commercial projects we started just bidding on, going hog wild across the country. And that's really been one of the main ways we have grown our franchise over the years, is just going out there in the marketplace, winning jobs, winning contracts, starting up new locations, and selling them to future franchisees. And it's been great because we've really learned how to bid on these massive projects all over the country. We've built a great reputation in the window cleaning industry as not only a solid window cleaning company, but hey, these guys have a franchise that does these massive commercial projects in many locations. And so we started doing that pretty much 2007, 2008, really until the present time. And a huge percentage of our franchisees have been beneficiaries of a lot of those contracts before they even came on board. So it's been a great way. We've made money in the short term, and it gave incentive to these potential owners to come on board take advantage of what we've already established. And then those new franchisees will turn around and leverage those bigger contracts and say, hey, we're doing the University of Arkansas. We can do any other building in the market. So it's a great anchor reference, we call it. So
yeah, no, absolutely. And all because you didn't get into med school, right? So
exactly. No doubt.
Yeah. That's crazy. And I think for pretty much everybody we ever talked to, like myself included, it's like a little, people just kind of stumble into franchising, right? Your goal wasn't to get into it. It just kind of happened. And here we are, like 16, 17, 18 years later, and you've got this amazing franchise brand that's all over the place with still tons of room to grow. So it's always crazy, just like the dumb luck of franchising. And then once people are in, they just never leave. It just keeps growing from there. So that's awesome. So you talk about some of the, like a couple of things I want to come back to a little bit more, but Squeegee Squad in general, right? You started with the residential and then you got into like the high rise stuff, right? And all the commercial, but there's a lot of other services that you're able to provide for customers, residential and commercial. So talk a little bit about some of those other things.
Yeah. So the residential kind of started out clean windows, and the customers would ask us, hey, you have a ladder, can you clean out all the gutters? My gutters are full of leaves in the fall. And so we would add that on, and gutter cleaning is actually a very profitable business. So we clean gutters. They'd ask, hey, can you pressure wash all the dirt off my siding? Do pressure washing. They'd say, hey, my chandelier, front foyer chandelier is kind of high. Can you use your stepladder and clean that out? So we'll clean out chandeliers, and that's kind of the residential list of services. Once we started doing the commercial high-rise window cleaning, we also would add the pressure washing. We've pressure washed many high rises from the roof, in a chair, on rope with our pressure washers. And what stemmed out of the commercial high rise division is that's kind of a specialty services division that we've just gotten going within the last three, four, 5 years. And it's kind of, like I said, a specialty service. It doesn't come around all that often, but we're up on the building. Our guys are hanging, cleaning the windows, and they see old cracking caulking. And the guys will upsell that and say, hey, property manager, you know, your building has a lot of cracked caulking, and I bet you're getting a lot of water intrusion in your building. Like, yeah, totally. So we'll give them a bid, and, you know, you don't have to re-caulk a building every year like you clean windows, but it's every 20 or so years the caulking wears out. And we'll come in and cut out all the old caulk, restore the glass, and put in new caulking that adheres to that restored window. And those jobs are really massive projects. And to give kind of an example, we were cleaning windows out at Wake Forest University about three years ago. And we were cleaning the windows. It was their university corporate center. It's an all-glass, 8-story building, about a block long, and I think it had 5,000 very large panels of glass. It's just all glass. And we were cleaning the windows. It was like a $30,000 window cleaning job. But they were getting water intrusion, and we gave them a bid. Actually, they put out an RFP, and we bid on it. We won it, and that was a $650,000 caulking job, and we probably netted 30-35% on that project. About a 6-month project, but it was a monster job, and those jobs are out there. We kind of call it a specialty service. But, you know, that building will be recocked for another 20 years. So, but
crazy. Well, and I think one of the things that really intrigues me and others that look at Squeegee Squad is, yes, there's the windows, there's residential, there's commercial, right? And that's big in and of itself, but you have other revenue streams that are kind of almost like secondary, that we have franchises that that's all they do, right? Gutters, the kind of the pressure washing, was the other one that, you didn't mention, but the holiday lights, like that's turned into a massive thing, right? And that you have all of these different add-ons that you're able to have your, again, you got the bread and butter, but again, to be able to grow big, big businesses. And occasionally, like, you're not, I'm guessing you're not getting those $600,000 caulking jobs like every day, right? So a little disclaimer, but if you didn't have the ability to do that, you would never get any of them. So I just think it's amazing how many different things kind of fall under the umbrella of Squeegee Squad, which is really cool. So I love that.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about the owner. So, because one of the things, there's no way I'm the only person that thought of this, is like on the commercial side, you know, they're mentioned an 8-story building. I know there are ones that are higher that you're doing and they're in the boom truck up or they're rappelling down. And that just like made me kind of freak out thinking about it, right? But there are people that love doing that. But as an owner, like, Are your owners like, you know, rappelling down from the, you know, the Willis Tower in Chicago? What's a job? What's a day look like? And what are you really looking for in an owner?
Yeah. So definitely not looking for the franchisee that wants to clean windows the rest of his life. And that's kind of owner operator model. And when we first got into franchising, we had, you know, a lot of those. Start out, you know, they clean windows and a lot of them grew and they had to hire people and they started to grow a business. But the longer we've been franchising, the more we've really started to attract business-minded people that aren't ever going to clean a window. They'll learn, know how to understand the business, but they're coming on, they're hiring people right away. They're pouring money into marketing, recruiting, and training, and they're building a real business out of this niche. So certainly I totally understand people don't want to repel off buildings, but there's tons of guys that love to do that. We train guys up and they love it and they make good money for the caliber of employee that they are. So yeah.
You really need that more business owner, sales, marketing, lead that team. And I'm guessing a lot of kind of community connection, building those referral sources. And I think one of the things that's unique about Squeegee Squad is, and you mentioned this, you may walk into as a brand new owner and already there have some accounts that are there for you, or you might be an existing owner. And next thing you know, you're getting a call from, you know, Jack going, "Hey, we just got you an account." And it's one thing for franchises to help with marketing. That's a given. Like, you've got things where you're just dropping jobs on your franchise owners. And that's amazing.
Yeah. You know, that's one of the main value proposition. I'll just get right into it. That is one of the main value propositions of our franchise is the fact that our franchisees in day one of their businesses, can bid on, with our corporate help, the biggest contracts in their state and win them, because we're going to help them bid it. We're going to help them present the bid with our national references. Say a franchisee's bidding on a college campus, we'll have 18 other college campuses that we can offer up as references. And then once we win it, a lot of times we'll help franchisees do some of these bigger projects the first time through because they need the help. And we have a corporate crew that travels all over the country that work for me and do big commercial buildings for us and then helping franchisees. Last week, we just had one of our guys from Miami. We're doing a corporate Squeegee Squad right now in Southeast Florida. And we sent one of our rope access technicians up to Kansas City to help our Topeka franchisees do a building. They landed in Kansas City and it was their first building for rope access as a big high rise. And we helped them. We trained up their guys at the same time. We split the job and revenue and they got trained and everybody got paid. So it was a great ordeal for them. So that's a big part of the value proposition. Franchise in my mind.
Well, and I think it speaks to the support that you guys are bringing on, right? This is not a This is not an outsourced thing, right? Not that there's anything wrong with that necessarily, right? But it's literally, it's you and your brother kind of founded this, started this. You mentioned Joe, who was your first franchisee, who, like, in the creepiness of the world, like, as you were talking about Joe, I, out of the corner of my eye on my phone, I see an email coming in from Joe on one of our clients that's working with you guys. He, you know, like, so successful as a franchise owner, and now is still part of the team, like franchisee number one. You guys have a great culture with that, which I think is very important. But talk about some of the, like, the, I think one of the other things, staffing, and then support that you guys are going to provide from staffing, because everybody's like, oh, labor. And this is a, you know, this isn't a typical, like, job that you're hiring for, right? And then some of the, like, the kind of the startup piece of what does an owner need? Like, do we need, like, the equipment, and some of the ways in which you guys are helping with that?
Yeah, sure. And to hit on the point, getting that email from Joe, so he was our very first franchisee, but now he's actually one of the owners of the franchise. He came in this past November of 2021. And he's running the biggest squeegee squad that he purchased from myself and my brother here in the Twin Cities. And he's been an immediate benefit to the franchisees because he's been really growing. He took what we built in the Twin Cities and just grew it. He'll probably do $4 million this year in commercial and residential revenue. But he's got a real heart for the franchisees because he's been a franchisee for so long. And He's really impacting the support aspect of franchisees, even better than my brother and myself, quite honestly. But, you know, talking about the staffing question, that is a big part of it. And we're as a franchise, very proactive at helping franchisees recruit a lot of these window cleaners. For example, we have a really cool account with Indeed. I'm sure you've heard it, Indeed, but we don't just post a job and see who applies. We're constantly searching markets for resumes with window cleaning experience, pressure washing experience, seeking out these people from a corporate level. And then once we get interest from them, we're talking with them and then referring them over to franchisees in their area. And then we'll take all of these people we've ever contacted over the years and put them on our franchisee dashboard, and franchisees can sort through those. A lot of these people are open to moving and traveling and relocating. So we have a database of people franchisees can call. And we're also pretty involved in this kind of online Facebook subculture of these high-rise window cleaners or window cleaning groups. And we'll do a ton of recruiting on these pages. And we've recruited a ton of guys. So we know a lot of these guys doing these big buildings for other companies. These guys that do this kind of work, they think of us as the, you know, they're used to working for maybe a one or two independent companies in a market like Minneapolis. And they'll think of the Squeegee Squad as this, not a cheesy, corny franchise company, but hey, these guys are a franchise that are doing these big commercial buildings all over the country. So they actually like that. They think we're a bigger deal. They see a little bit more upward mobility because, hey, they could go work for Squeegee Squad in Florida during the wintertime or come work for Squeegee Squad corporate. And so we attract a lot of these guys just organically coming to us a lot of times as well. So definitely the staffing's a big deal. We're very proactive at it as one of the pillars of support for our franchisees. And I'd say the second pillar of support, and this gets to really what franchisees need to do to be successful in this business. They need to be good at recruiting and training and motivating and managing people, obviously. But also driving revenue to your company, sales and marketing. And so those two things, that's where we really focus on support on, besides the infrastructure, the forms, the videos, training videos, software, all of that stuff that's still being refined, you know, over the years. But we also have a national call center where we have sales guys that pound the pavement on the phone calling franchisees markets to help land big commercial bids. And so they'll pick up the FOMA directory, the Building Owners and Managers Association direct national directory, and we'll say, hey, hit Atlanta today. We just brought on two new franchisees in Atlanta within this last month, and they're just pounding today as we speak the BOMA list and the customer list in Atlanta, getting leads, getting bids for our franchisees there to go do. So we hit that up pretty hard from a call center perspective. And we also have a great guy that's been working for us, a good friend of mine named Hans Colburn from Backcountry Digital. And we have a real, real close relationship with Hans, and he handles all of our SEO, all of our online social media marketing that is meant to go after jobs and franchisees markets. So we spend a lot of money every month just paying him to really hone in on franchisees markets and get the bids coming in that way as well. So
nice. But I think it's sometimes it's overwhelming for people looking at franchises, like how much support and in areas that like a lot of times people don't even know there's going to be, they need the support, right? But it's really back to that, like follow the plan with this and you know, and again, the call center, frankly, and I've known you guys for a while. I didn't know you guys had a call center that was doing that stuff. Right. And so like in my mind, I'm like, well, geez, what the heck does the owner need to do? You kind of got it all set up for them for success. And the one other thing, and I don't want to take too much more of your time. I want to be respectful of that, but seasonality, there are times that we'll talk to people that struggle with grasping something that is, I mean, you've got some of your things that you might do indoors, but the vast majority of it is outdoors, right? And you live in, you founded this thing in the Minneapolis area where you've got that crazy white stuff that falls from the sky in the winter. I think it's called snow, right? So, but you also are talking about, you've got an owner right there that started this thing that's doing massive amounts of revenue in a seasonal market. Talk a little bit about that and maybe almost probably dispel the myth a little bit of that. Well, just because you're in the north, you're not going to make as much as somebody in the south. How does that work in your system?
Yeah, sure. I mean, we're busy here in Minneapolis from, I would say, mid-March all the way through Christmas. And January and February is kind of the time where you take a step back because you've been going like gangbusters the last 6, 9, 10 months. And you get ready for the next season, kind of take a break. You set up your marketing for the next year. You get all set up. But it's not that the business totally shuts down. We're doing a lot of work for construction companies, residential home builders, commercial construction companies that are building stuff year round and they're finishing up buildings. We have to come in and do the final clean for a lot of those. And so there's still revenue going on even in a cold market, but the further south you go, the less you have a seasonality issue. And it really is that simple. So
I think if you can make the same amount of money in 9 or 10 months than you can in 12 months in a warm weather state, right? I mean, what the heck's wrong with that? And as you were talking about, right, January, February, well, if you want to take it easy a little bit, do it. But you're still doing the marketing. Maybe you're putting out bids and trying to get people lined up for the second. It's possible to get out there. You can go. So thank you for that. And I know you guys, I'm sure, hear that all the time. But anything that's outdoors. And we're like in the northern half of the country, sometimes people like think it's seasonal means half or a fraction of the revenue. And that's just not the case. Right. So, no. So no, good. Jack, this is awesome, man. And I greatly appreciate your time and all of the info on this. Anything, kind of last thing I'll throw at you, is there anything that we missed that we didn't talk about Squeegee Squad that you'd want people to be aware of?
I think we had talked maybe about an item 19 reference and kind of talking about, you know, what everybody wants to know that's going to be watching you here is how much money can you make? And in our item 19 is one of our affiliates now, the Twin Cities Metro. It's the largest franchise. The franchise owner, Joe Antonello, generated last year, I think it was 3.3, 3.4 million in revenue and netted right around 22% net profit. So I think he was showing $600,000 or $650,000 net profit after paying himself, paying everything. Right. That's pretty good money for a window cleaning operation. Yeah. And that is a semi absentee business. He works from home. He's got managers, an office manager that runs everything in the office. And he's got a field manager that does all the bids and manages the crews. And they're very, you know, well-paid, competent people. So This is a business that you can start out like I did cleaning windows and be very profitable. And then you can grow it into a very big business. And his business is still growing every year. Our franchisees are growing. We're bringing on business-minded people. We have a guy, Bruce, out in Colorado that I think he started in 2018 and 19. Very sharp business guy. And he focuses predominantly on the commercial. He's probably going to do $2 million bucks this year, and he'll probably be the second biggest window cleaning company in Colorado in a very short period of time. So our franchisees are growing. They're growing big. There's the capacity to grow big because of that commercial niche. And we're a franchise company where we're not a new franchise anymore. We've learned very important lessons about franchisee support, supporting franchisees. But we're at the same rate. We're not a really large corporate Subway, McDonald's, where you're going to feel like a number. Our franchisees can call us anytime on our cell phones and get the answers to the questions they have. So we call it the Squad Nation, the Squad Family. And we get together every year down in Florida at our national convention. And it's a great time. And we hang out, we party, and have a lot of fun. So we'd love to meet all of you people out there and, you know, get a franchise going in your market.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll be looking forward to the invite to the, you know, Squad Nation meeting in Florida this year. So we'll...
No doubt, you're invited for sure.
And very smart that you guys are doing that in Florida and not in, you know, Minneapolis. So, so cool. Jack, thank you so much. This has been, I'm super excited to be working with you guys. And the one little thing I want to make point of is you talked about, like, you've been around long enough, big enough, you got it all figured out and then some, right? But still small enough where there's fantastic markets available and that you really are going to have that kind of family feel. It's literally two brothers that started this and somebody that was franchisee number one are kind of your three main points. So amazing opportunity. So Jack, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Tim.
So, and as always, thanks to our loyal podcast listeners for checking it out. If you'd like to learn more about potentially becoming an owner of Squeegee Squad or any of the almost 600 franchises we work with, go to francoach.net or franchising101podcast.net. Send us a message. Let's get a call set up. There's never any fee for our service. Take that first step today to help becoming and creating your better tomorrow. Thanks for joining us. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks for listening to Francoach's Franchising 101 podcast, where our ultimate goal is to help educate you on all things franchising so you can create your better tomorrow.